Hi, I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and you're on The Front Porch. I'm joined, as always, by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And we have a special guest. We have Rick's daughter, Sarah Jarvis. Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
Hi, Scott. Fine, thanks.
And Sarah is a psychologist and Lori Lynn columnist and also a lawyer. And we're reaching her at her house here in Charleston to the magic of radio. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Scott.
And today we're going to talk about the struggle to stay, which is West Virginia Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Living's effort to talk with young people that want to be in West Virginia, but it's a hard place to stay. West Virginia Living and West Virginia Public Broadcasting have gotten together and just noticed that there's an unusual amount of angst out there right now. And I think that among different groups, there's different sources of the angst. Liberals in the state are pretty apoplectic over what's happening in the legislature, be it right to work and Religious Freedom Restoration Act and all that stuff. They're upset. On the other hand, I think a lot of folks are just really worried across the board about the economy, about the hole in the state budget deficit. It's a hard time to make a living in West Virginia. And so we've been asking people to share their struggles with us online with the hashtag #TheStruggleToStay. Here's just one example of that.
What it boils down to me is that sometimes I wonder if she's worth my investment. The problem is that when new ideas are not supported, women are not represented in leadership roles, and diversity is not embraced, I wonder, as a young professional, if the efforts we work daily to employ to change our narrative nationally about our perception and to increase a sector of our economy are all for naught.
All right, Lori, what do you make of all of this? Do you think this is a hard place to live? Do you think this is a something that we need to talk about? Or, as some of the conservative critics have said, are we just talking down the state for no good reason and making things worse?
This will not surprise you that I find some of the recent stuff a little bit overwrought. You know, we're in year two of the Republican legislature. I think the idea that we can blame it on that, I think, is a little bit crazy. You know, I'm not minimizing what these individual people think, and I read the Facebook posts and the Tumblr, but it is largely an economic thing. Now, what's special about West Virginia, and I wrote a column about this back in the spring, is that, you know, people leave states all the time, and it stuck with me. People don't feel guilt about leaving Tampa. Like, what's unique to West Virginia is the angst that people feel, and the way that they hang on and they don't want to leave, and they're very conflicted about leaving. That's a special thing. You know, that's a good thing that this is a place that people really want to stay and cling to and feel guilty. And so that, you know, that's special. And I mean, it's sad that people have to feel so conflicted, but it means that you're in a special place when you feel such reluctance to leave, even though economic and other things are pushing you away.
Sarah, do you want to address this?
Out of my group of friends, back in 2000, I'm the only one that's still here. All of my friends have actually migrated down south to whether it be South Carolina or down to Florida. And the reason for that, I think, does come down to simulation. But I'm not talking about just economic. That definitely is a factor that leads to our kind of migration out of West Virginia. But I think from a cultural standpoint, a lot of us think, like, what is there here to do? But also education. You know, we look to go to other places for schooling. And so it's a very sad thing to see happening. But the last few years, I've been more hopeful through some of these kind of social media movements that have been happening here, as well as some of the towns within West Virginia have been very active in trying to refurbish the town and to get more people involved. Huntington is a really good example of that. Despite all the drug epidemic that it gets all of its national attention for, they've really done a nice job on revitalizing different parts of Huntington.
Well, what I found interesting about what you said about your friends is they're not necessarily like leaving to go to liberal meccas. It's or necessarily conservative meccas. They're not choosing places based on that. They're choosing it based on economic opportunities,
absolutely,
schooling opportunities, cool place to live.
Mm-hmm. There are some things that I will say that have happened or that have been suggested within this legislative session that do make me somewhat weary of raising a child here just because of some of the discrimination that our state may seem to promote at different points of time. It's exposure to scientific-based knowledge being taught within the classroom. I think that that's a very important thing.
You're talking about, so there's been a movement in the legislature to repeal the Common Core-based standards, creating much chaos, questions about who sets the standards. Is it the Board of Education, the legislature? And then most recently, a set of science-based standards that were set to take effect next year. The House of Delegates passed a bill that would repeal those, in part because, as people said on the floor, because they talk about global warming being a real thing.
I think it's unfortunate when ruling or economically powerful groups get to dictate scientific truth. Whenever it's happened in the past, it hadn't worked well, from Galileo with the whole sun-earth thing to Stalin helped ruin Soviet agriculture with a bogus ideological theory that plants could inherit acquired traits.
Are you bashing the Catholics again with this Galileo thing? That was a long time ago.
Actually, the church apologized, and Galileo, I mean, house arrest isn't bad by Renaissance standards. So.
Hey, can I add one more thing?
Oh, please. Yeah, go ahead.
This is just along with the struggle to stay conversation. The Daily Show had tweeted, I think I'm sure a lot of people saw a very nasty tweet about West Virginia this week. And Delegate Perdue gave a speech on the floor in response to that. And he recited a poem that he'd written, which was just addressed to a person, you know, literally flying over West Virginia and looking down on us, looking down, you know, literally and figuratively. And I thought that was just a really nice moment in the legislature this week.
On that bright, shiny day, as you race on your way, climbing fast in the great blue alive, know that we here below see you fly over slow from a land where the sky is not so wide. But the scars on our hill should remind you that down here is where the spark starts. It gave you light and warmth in the night from our mountains down into your dark. From way up there in that still clean air, so far from this place you can't see, lie the stones and roads when wars you chose, freedom's heart buried generations deep. So the stones and the scars mark our passage from no man's land to this land you'd leave unknown. Be glad we were here for all you hold dear. Then fly over. We'll be here when you're gone. Go on, fly over. We'll be here when you're gone.
And that's the front porch for this week. I'm joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee.
Thanks, Scott.
And his daughter, Sarah Jarvis. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
And Lori Lynn, a Charleston lawyer and columnist and new mother. So thanks for joining us again, Lori. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.